Hey everybody, if you like this episode of Star Wars with Aaron and Polly, make sure to subscribe to Funny Books with Aaron and Polly on your favorite podcast provider, where we'll be discussing the rest of the season of The Acolyte. This is Paul.
And maybe at some point during this conversation, Andrew will be here.
Oh, don't tease.
Yeah, well, his communication droids are updating right now. He did not service his droids appropriately, and now they're having to update.
Ah, okay. Well, so. They're I'm sure that'll happen in no time. We've been waiting, dear listener, for 20 minutes so far.
That's right. Andrew.
He's the worst. Well, I'm excited to be talking Star Wars again. I know, I think the last time we talked was about a month ago. We had our Phantom Menace 25th anniversary, conversation. So, but what brought us back on the mics today to talk about is that the first two episodes of The Acolyte have dropped on Disney Plus.
Yep.
But, Aaron, before we get into it,
oh dear!
I know. Just a brief thing. Star Wars news is a little quiet right now. It's all about The Acolyte. We've already talked about. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It seems like there's a lot of George Lucas interview stuff bouncing around.
There is, and I'm not. Yeah. I guess it's because of his. Maybe it's because of Phantom Menace 25th anniversary, or because of his museum. Thing. But there has been a lot of talk. George Lucas talk, but I mean nothing particularly new, really.
Right.
In the Star Wars world, there hasn't been anything really new discussed beyond that. We know that Jon Favreau is directing a Mandalorian and Grogu movie, which very much looking forward to. But the biggest news in Star Wars is in the supermarket.
In the supermarket? Like at the grocery store?
Exactly. The grocery store, as you refer to it down in the South.
Huh.
obviously, I think we didn't really talk about it, but when the 25th anniversary Phantom Menace was coming to theaters and stuff like that, they did have blue milk in select grocery stores. Yeah.
They did not.
Yeah, they did. That's it might crazy. Still be available. I don't know. I wouldn't recommend buying it. But,
yeah, I know. That's disgusting. Why would you?
Yeah.
Unless you can drink it direct from the teat like Luke does.
Drink it direct from the teat.
He does. He did in...
that's right. No, that was the green milk.
No, that was the blue milk.
Was it the blue milk?
I think it was the blue milk.
I wouldn't recommend drinking
straight
that.
Straight from the teat.
That's the way Aaron likes it.
That's how you do it. And all nice and hot.
Oh, God. It's the worst. what is available in grocery stores, currently as of this recording, but I guess, I think some stores have released it early, but the official release date is June 10th. And we are recording this on June 8th. We're releasing it on June 10th. Hopefully. Is Star Wars Oreos.
No.
Will be available at grocery stores. I've seen that people have been finding them at Wawa's as well. So, I think they'll be all over the place. But they are dark side and light side Oreos. But you don't know which one it is.
Oh,
until
really?
You purchase and open it. So the dark side Oreos have a red cream inside with... designs on the cookie of bad guys, and the light side is blue on the inside with designs of heroes. But I think they taste the same as regular Oreos. I don't think they have.
I stand corrected. That's what we've all said about the Force. It all tastes the same.
It all tastes the same. I stand corrected though because it has Kyber sugar crystals in the cream, so it's a little crunch, maybe a little Pop Rocks. Kyber crystals.
So if you amass enough of these cookies, can you build yourself a Death Star?
I would think so.
You build yourself a Death Star and you blow up Alderaan or whatever.
I mean, I feel like you'll have stomach issues before that happens, but... Well, you're not eating them, you're amassing them.
maybe that's the big, you know, planet killer weapon is the intestinal issue that follows.
Sometimes, I got to tell you, especially with that blue milk.
Uh-huh.
The warm blue milk. So Star Wars Oreo cookies. Check your local supermarket or gas station, wherever Oreos are sold.
Or gas station.
Or, you know, check with your mom. Yeah. But I'm gonna have to pick up some Star Wars Oreos. I always find that Oreos release like special flavors, and I pick them up and I eat like two.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, that was good. I got the flavor. I tasted the churro Oreo. I'm good now. The carrot cake Oreo. I'm ready to move on. They need to sell them in packs of two.
I'm really not an Oreo man.
What? Who's not an Oreo person?
I'm not an Oreo guy.
That feels like an unusual thing to say.
Well, you're an unusual thing to say.
I mean, yes, this is true.
So I want to deviate from Star Wars for just a moment.
I don't know that we should be doing that on a Star Wars
podcast. I'm gonna deviate. It is swimming season. You know, it is because it's hot outside. And so my lovely bride bought me a nifty pair of bone conducting headphones.
That's not going to cause cancer at all.
Right. Yeah. They're waterproof so that I can, you know, wear them in the pool. This is her way of creating peace between the neighbors, I feel, because usually I take out my jam box and I, you know, rock the yard. Usually with some inappropriate lyrics.
Right. Listening to what are you listening to back there in the yard?
Well, yeah, the
stuff NWA.
Usually it's some pretty, you know, hardcore rap stuff and with the harsh language, things with lyrics that, you know, I'm not allowed as a white guy to say those words out loud. So when I sing, I have to skip that word, you know, because it's some of that gangster rap stuff.
Aaron was so into the gangster rap.
Well, it's an eclectic mix. I mean, it's not all rap, but there's some rap, you know.
It goes from Ben Folds to Insane Clown Posse is what we're
saying.
That
is exactly correct. That is a correct estimate of my eclectic mix. And you know, I thump it out there. And anyway, this is her way of, you know, because there are small children in the neighboring yards. My wife has had some concerns about how loud I rock the yard, and particularly with the content of how loud I rock the yard. So anyhow, so I've got these bone conducting headphones. I would like to point out that there is no branding on the headphones she bought me. There's no like Sony or, you know, Toshiba or there's nothing on there. And so, I mean, I'm like, I couldn't figure out how to operate them, you know, because there's just random buttons, right? There's no indicator as to what each button does. And so I'm like, well, the product document, the instruction manual is written in microtype. And I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to go to their website and download their manual instead of, you know, scanning the manual. And I mean, I'm like, I can't find who the hell made this thing. I mean, I'm just like, where in the hell did she get these? And so I asked her, I'm like, where'd you get these? Oh, I got them on Amazon. And so, you know, she sent me the link on Amazon, and I mean, they don't have a product page. It blows my mind that this is just rando bone conducting, you know, headphones. And I find, Paul, it's a little scary because, to your point, I think it's going to mess up my chakras. I think it's going to knock my entire electromagnetic field out of whack. And how can the brain tumors not follow?
I mean, it feels I don't know that I would trust it. A brandless bone conducting headphone seems a recipe for disaster.
It really does, doesn't it? I mean, it just seems like, you know, all of a sudden my head's just going to explode while I'm in the pool. And then someone's going to have to clean that up.
Yeah, it's going to be like Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And then what will the neighbor kids do?
It's like Amanda Waller got me. You know, yeah, that's exactly it. Well, Suicide Squad or bone conducting headphones?
Same. Well, good luck, Aaron. Good luck with your bone conducting headphones.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated on how this is going. Or if I don't keep you updated, you'll know.
If we don't hear from you again, That's the update. Did you watch The Acolyte through your bone conducting headphones while you?
I did not. I watched it through my AirPods.
Okay. Okay. Those are also safe. Yeah. Well, this week, The Acolyte season one. Well, I don't know. Episodes one and two. Let's just call it episodes one and two because we don't know if it's a, if there's going to be another season. Premiered to much controversy, Aaron.
Oh, controversy.
Much controversy.
What was the? I am unaware of the controversy, much or otherwise. Please tell me, what is this controversy of which you speak?
Well, really, let me clarify. The Acolyte did nothing to cause controversy other than hiring a diverse cast.
Oh, I should have understood. That's what we were talking about.
Yes. The toxic fanboys have come out of the woodwork because there's diversity in the cast. And I will tell you, like, the plethora of negative reviews from people who have probably not seen the show. Yeah. I'm like, wow, like, is there anything good about this show? Maybe I'll just watch it myself. Because it you know, the toxic fandom has definitely come out in force, because not only is it, you know, a diverse cast, it's also written and directed by a woman. We know how toxic fanboys feel about that. So, you know,
I noticed that I forget the woman's name.
Leslie, I want to say Leslie Headband, but that doesn't sound right.
Actually, that sounds close, though.
Headland. Leslie Headland.
Is she directing Headland. The entire series? Because I noticed she directed episodes one and two.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if they've revealed that she's directing the entire thing. I would not be surprised, because, like, Obi-Wan was all directed by Deborah Chow.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're planning on alternating.
Interesting.
Directors.
I mean, that's a lot of work to, you know, direct that many episodes back to back to back.
Well, I mean, this has been in the works for quite a while.
Yeah. You know,
I think this was filmed, I'm going to say, probably close to 2 years ago. I feel as if this was announced as being in production quite a while back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a little disheartening, you know, to read any comments on any posts relating to The Acolyte. So I don't recommend it. Go in, form your own opinions.
I looked it up, Paul.
Oh, no, don't click show comments.
No, I mean, I looked it up. She's they switch up directors.
Oh, OK.
So, like, Hanel Culpepper is directing an episode, directing two episodes. It looks like they're doing two episode, I wouldn't say blocks, but two episode assignments, because, like, somebody by the name of Koganada is directing two episodes, but Koganada is directing episodes 3 and 7. Hanel Culpepper is directing episodes 6 and 8. And Alex Garcia Lopez is directing episodes 4 and 5.
Okay.
So there you go. Look, facts checked.
Done. Look, this is what we do.
It's really not. This is so off brand.
Yeah. I mean, really, the fact that Aaron looked it up.
I know. Even more scary.
Yeah. Even more unusual. I don't even know. Let me clarify. Is it supposed to be 8 episodes? Yes, 8 episodes.
Yeah. So I noted when I was watching episode one, and I don't, what's the title of episode one? It was,
I'm going to call it chapter one.
It was Lost Found. Yeah. I noticed the representation. Didn't bother me. But something started gnawing at me. And Paul, we see something all the time in the Jedi, and really in the Star Wars universe. We see, you know, rather proper people become Jedi. You know, they're very reserved. They're well spoken. They tend to speak with some sort of mock British accent. And really the big change on that, and though she wasn't a Jedi, she was a Force user, was in Obi-Wan. And I forget can't remember her name.
Oh, the fourth sister, maybe?
Yeah, are you talking about the second sister or something.
Are you talking about the one who turned on them?
Yes.
And kind of became good by the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that character's name off the top of my head.
But remember, she was, you know,
it was Reva.
Yeah. She did not have that very proper dialect, you know. Correct. In fact, it was a little bit more modern, a little bit more street, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that while I was watching, and you know, I'll come back and talk about casting here in a minute, but I realized that we're missing the redneck Jedi. We're missing country boy Jedi. We're missing Cajun Jedi. And I really started thinking, you know what we need is Gambit Jedi. You know, we need somebody who is at home in the swamp, at home in the backwoods. We need somebody who's just a good old boy, you know, doesn't mean no harm, you know. Because all you ever saw, been in trouble with the law since the day he was born. That's what we're looking for here.
We need Matthew McConaughey as a Jedi, I feel is what I just heard.
All right. But I'm serious. You know, I think that what in Obi-Wan, where we had Reva,
correct.
But maybe we could get Reba as a Jedi Master, right?
There you go.
Reba McEntire, Jedi Master.
plays herself.
Anyway, I'm thinking, you know, if we've broken the mold, if we can break out of that, you know, faux British accent, if we can break out of just, you know, pristine lily white guy, you know, as a Jedi, maybe we could get, you know, country boy or girl, you know, Jedi. I think that's what we need, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that.
You know, out there in his coveralls, you know, flannel shirt, you know, using the force, you know.
I feel like people would question where he got his country accent from, but I'm sure they can write that off. Start talking to be like, oh, he's from country. And
it's the same argument for everything else, though. Where did he get that accent? Right. Fair. I mean, they have proven that accents don't matter. And if that's the case, I'd like some of my own representation.
Cowboy hat wearing Jedi.
That's
right. They don't.
Cigar smoking Jedi. They had
Timothy Oliphant, but he was not a Jedi.
That's correct.
Yes.
So I'm just saying. Now, about casting, I was not wild about episode one. Not because of May and what's the other sister's name?
Osha.
Thank you. May and Osha. I thought she was fine. Sure. It was the two other Jedis, the Padawan and the other guy.
Yeah.
It seemed like some rather uninspired casting for those roles.
Well, I wanna say the Padawan, Aaron, was actually X-23 from the movie Logan.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she wasn't doing anything for me.
No, I mean, she was. They were very much episode one Jedi, you know, very cold, very flat.
Well, and they just, they didn't, the thing that I noticed about just about everybody on the screen, just about everybody, with the exception of Carrie-Anne Moss, had no charisma.
Mm-hmm.
They brought nothing to the screen. In fact, when the show opens up and I'm like, I didn't know Carrie-Anne Moss was in this. This is going to be great. And then, you know, Carrie-Anne Moss dies in the first scene. I was like, oh. And I spent the rest of the episode being disappointed because Carrie-Anne Moss, I mean, she really lights up the screen. She's a movie star, yeah. Right? And there's a reason she's a movie star, because she is just bringing the riz. Everybody else did not. Not the Jedi Master that the Lady Jedi Master with kind of blue skin. You know, she doesn't. The Jedi Master who taught Osha, he doesn't.
Soul.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time with all of their names just yet. But I just didn't feel like there was much charisma on the screen. And it just felt like I was watching an episode of the CW, and not a particularly good episode of the CW in casting terms. Mm-hmm. I didn't object to the story. I didn't object to, and again, I like Osha / May. And I enjoy the twin conversation that's going on there.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, to your point, other than Osha and May, the characters very much did not emote in that first episode.
No.
And, you know, we've talked quite a few times on this podcast and our partner podcast, Funny Books with Aaron and Polly, is when they release two episodes at a time,
right?
You know, right. The first episode is a slow one.
Well, and I was looking at the length, you know, together these are 120 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, one was 38, one was 42 minutes. And I was like, well, maybe it's just because of the length, you know, but no, I thought that the first episode was really kind of a dud. Certainly picks up in the second episode. I thought the second episode was much better. Didn't love it. You know, I didn't walk out like I did with Ahsoka going, yes, you know, but I did like it a great deal. And I think part of what I need from this story is it's 1,000 years prior to Phantom Menace. It doesn't feel like that.
Well, is it 1,000? I thought it was 100.
I thought I read 1,000. I could be wrong.
You could be right. No, I've said approximately 100 years.
Okay. Before but the it still, Menace. It doesn't feel that way. It doesn't no, feel it
feels
very like...
No, it feels like 5 years, frankly.
Yeah. Before yeah, Phantom and Menace. I need there to be... I mean, one of the things that I noticed was, well, Coruscant's not nearly as congested. And that was really the only thing, right? Yeah. You know, Coruscant just, you know, it looked busy, but it didn't look like, oh my God, you know, it's DC traffic at 5 p.m. on a Friday. You know, it just, you know, looked busy. Mm. I need a bigger sense of contrast in the period. And I guess I need to see more about the Jedi for me to like them. But I'll tell you what I loved about the Carrie Ann Moss scene, going back to episode one, first scene. It is so rare that you see the Jedi do something for people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She protects people in that scene. Usually the Jedi, from my perspective, are just fighting for themselves. And I liked that she protected the guy. And that's ultimately how she dies. Spoilers. Is she's protecting a guy, you know, and let her guard down in order to protect him. I dug that. I dug that a lot. And, you know, I hated to see her go, but at least she died a hero. You know, I don't know what the issue is concerning the four Jedi that Mei is hunting down, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's part of the mystery. We don't know yet.
Yeah. And, you know, you can tell there's guilt involved because anytime somebody brings it up, there's, oh, that, you know, but I'm digging it so far.
I'm enjoying the show. You know, mm-hmm. Do I think it started off a little slow? Yeah, but I feel like that's the interpretation of Jedi that I'm starting to get used to, right? I mean, in reality, you know, they're in the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy, we didn't really see Jedi, right? Like, Luke Skywalker says he's a Jedi, but, like, right. Why? Like, he wasn't a Padawan. He wasn't really trained. He was trained by Yoda, I guess. But, you know, he wasn't a Jedi in the way that the prequel trilogy defined Jedi.
Right.
And these are very much your Qui-Gon Jinns, your Obi-Wan Kenobis, you know, the Jedi that we saw in that prequel trilogy 100 years before that. But, you know, similar interpretation. You know, they are very, to your point, not a lot of personality, you know, very flat. But I mean, I think there was room for some emotion. I do like Li Zhongzhe, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, played Saul, who is the Jedi Master for Osha. That actor was actually in Squid Game. He's the lead character in Squid Game. And what I discovered is that he learned English for this role.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He took inspiration, you know, he based his performance a bit on Liam Neeson's performance as Qui-Gon Jinn. And I'm like, I can see that, mm-hmm. You know, but I liked his character. I liked the background he has with the lead character, Osha. I like that, that relationship. The other two, the younger characters, Yord Fandar and Jeki Lawn, there wasn't much to them even through the second episode. I think we'll see maybe those characters stretch a bit more.
I thought for sure Yord was going to die in the second episode. I thought for sure. Oh, yeah. He's a dead man.
Not yet. You know? Not yet. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's not much meat on the bone to those characters right now. They're not bringing the personality. They're bringing the exposition. Right. You know, that's what they're bringing right now. Cause all the emotion is coming from, you know, from Osha and Saul. So, you know, I do like it in general. You know, the mystery itself, while it's interesting to me, it's not like riveting. Right. You know, so in the first episode, Mei, who is Osha's twin sister, spoiler, murders Jedi Master Indara, who's Carrie Ann Moss's character. And everyone thinks it's Osha because they don't know about Mei. But, you know, that's all resolved within the first episode. Right. Osha. Everyone thinks Osha's a murderer. It's not Osha. It's actually Mei. Now it's about hunting Mei or finding Mei. But it's one of those things that, you know, we don't know why Mei is so angry, and we don't know who the mysterious being is that's controlling her and sending her on this, you know, this path of revenge. Now, you know, I don't know if we're going to be dealing with Sith. We're definitely dealing with Force users.
Right.
Well, I don't know. May doesn't.
He had a red lightsaber.
Oh, that's right. He did have a red lightsaber. You know, they haven't. So, you know, but we are clearly dealing with a master and apprentice relationship with that. And, you know, maybe we're dealing with
Sith.
Feels
Sithy. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels Sithy to me. Yeah. So, you know, the mystery is still unresolved, obviously, as the first two episodes of who that guy is and what the motivations are. This series very much to me feels like I'm reading or, you know, watching something that's based on a Star Wars expanded universe novel. For better or worse, right? In that it feels like while I'm enjoying it, and you know, and I'm sure, you know, in the end it'll be have been worth my time. It's not like it's going to move the needle on Star Wars as a whole.
Sure.
It just kind of feels like a little side story set in the past, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so you know, and so for me, it that's the way at least the first two episodes struck me, right? It's not appointment television. You know, at least in the first two episodes, I will watch it weekly and we will talk about it. But is it, you know, is it going to be appointment television that I have to watch it as soon as it drops to avoid spoilers? Not really. Yeah. Not unless there's a twist that we're unaware of. Because 100 years before the High Republic or the 100 years before the Phantom Menace, we do have quite a few characters from the, you know, from that era that are alive at this time. Mm-hmm. Right. Yoda's around.
Yeah, he's like 800 years old, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. Some members of the Jedi Council are definitely over 100 years old,
right?
In A Phantom Menace. So, you know, I'm curious to see what they do, if they do anything with that, or if this is truly just going to be its own side thing.
So I got a question for you, because when they talk about Force users in the episode, you know, someone's being schooled in the Force, yada, yada. They didn't mention Sith, but this... If it's 100 years in the past, this doesn't predate experience with Sith, right? I mean, the Sith have been around for a good long time.
You know, and that's right? What I'm trying, you know, obviously there's expanded universe and then there's
right.
Actual universe. And I do believe that Sith, you know, were around, you know, before this time frame, you know, even in, you know, the actual continuity, you know, official continuity of Star Wars.
Right.
But I don't know if they were referred to as Sith or, you know, if they were kind of really formed that way. So, I don't know exactly because, okay. You know, to your point, I'm wondering, could this be Jedi's first real experience with what became known as the Sith? And that's what they're setting up.
If that's the case, that doesn't seem like enough time for, you know, conversations to happen in the Phantom Menace. Well, there are always two. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
And they've been in hiding. And
yeah. So I just I'm struggling with that, and I need some clarity, right? You know, is the Sith a thing already, or is this the first appearance of what we come to know as the Sith?
Well, anyway. I'm sure some folks who are listening to this podcast could help us out with that, right? You know, as far as
maybe we should listen to their podcasts.
Maybe we should listen to someone who knows. Yeah. What is you know the history of the Sith? In continuity, could this potentially be the Jedi's first real experience with right. with the rule of two and the Sith and, you know, master and apprentice relationship? Or, you know, is something in continuity, you know, set before that?
So I've said previously on a Star Trek with Aaron and Polly, I believe, that, you know, what Star Trek really has failed to learn is, you know, people like to touch things. People like to own things from the shows they watch. You know, they like tactile things, things they can hold in their hands. And, you know, for instance, Star Trek Discovery has given us none of that. They've really only given us phasers and, you know, not much of that, you know, communicators and tricorders. They're all, you know, hollow devices. They're not, you know, tactile devices anymore. So, you know, there's no merchandising there. And the first thing I really noted in The Acolyte was the little pocket droid that Osha carries around. And I'm like, oh, yeah, see, somebody working in merchandising had some input here.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because this is going to be available on shelves anytime now.
For sure.
Yeah.
Pip is the name of the little droid, and it's a handheld droid.
Yeah. You know? It's a perfect idea. I mean, it's like a Palm Pilot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Palm Pilot with a head and makes little noises. Yeah. Yeah, it's already kind of striking a chord with fans online, Pip.
Oh, absolutely. I can see that. And it's such a simple design. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, this is like Sonic Screwdriver. I mean, it's going to be a thing. And I'm like, the Disney Star Wars industrial complex understands this. And everybody else needs to pay the fuck attention because this is how you make the monies.
Exactly. Yeah, between the droid that Leia had in Obi-Wan, BB-8, like Star Wars knows we need to introduce some little thing that a kid wants. And I will say this show is very, I mean, all Star Wars is, except kind of Andor. Very family friendly. Yeah. Like there's nothing here that even borders on the darkness of Andor. You know, it's very much in line with, I would say, the you know, kind of the maturity of like a prequel trilogy, just without Jar Jar.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, family friendly show for sure.
Well, and I particularly enjoy the, you know, Wookiee roasting porgs in the latter trilogy.
Yes.
You
know, yes. Well, we have a Wookiee Jedi in this one, played by Junus Swatamo, I think is his name, Swatama. The actual guy who plays Chewbacca in the sequel trilogy also plays the Wookiee Jedi in the show.
I'm looking forward to seeing him, and that's our next episode. It looks like we're going to get some Jedi Wookiee action, so I'm excited to see that. So.
Yeah, me too.
Well, Paul, overall, what are your thoughts? Are you happy about
the Acolyte? Overall, my thoughts are I'm happy. I think the show is good. It's not great, at least yet. But, you know, frankly, nor were any of the other shows except Mandalorian. I think Mandalorian was the only show that started strong. Mm-hmm. But Obi-Wan didn't, and Andor didn't. You know, and Ahsoka didn't, you know, Ahsoka did. Ahsoka was one that did start strong. But in general, the Star Wars shows do tend to start and a little slowly and then build up. Right. Yeah. So did I say Star Trek or Star Wars? I meant Star Wars.
You said Star Wars.
Okay. Whew. Honestly, most Disney Plus shows. So, you know, most streaming shows, frankly. Yeah. I mean, as far as the first two episodes, I would actually say they're probably above average for your normal pilot and second episode. So I'm hopeful that, you know, the series will build momentum and, you know, kind of build what we're interested in. I'm looking forward, frankly, to see some Jedi fighting action, some lightsaber battles, hopefully.
I have enjoyed the fight sequences so far without the lightsabers. You know, the you know, fight me barehanded, fight me, you know, come at me, yo. I really have enjoyed like the fight between Saul and Mei. In episode two, I thought it was very entertaining. And I thought her solution to get out of that, you know, was strong. I think the thing that really bothered me, that was abrasive to me, and it was in the first episode, was when Osha and her partner go out onto the hull of the ship. And there was no attempt to make that look like outer space. You know, the atmospherics. Yeah. I mean, you had flames and smoke venting from a port, and they did nothing CG to make that look like it was, you know, expelling into a vacuum. I mean, it was clearly we are walking on a set and a soundstage, and we've done nothing here. And I'm just like, come on, guys.
Yeah, this is very much a TV show Star Wars, right? This is not a big budget. Well, I mean, I'm sure it had a decent sized budget because there are some decent special effects, but it just feels like a TV show.
Given that you know, so much of this is shot in the volume, right? I was just a little stunned that there was not just a little bit of effort. Or if you're not gonna show it, right, don't have it smoke and flame. You know, just go out there and fix something. I'm just like, why did you do that? Because I'm like, and then I was like, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're, you know, in the air somewhere, you know, maybe they're still in the atmosphere, but no, they're out in outer space. And it was ridiculous. So anyway, minor, it bothered me in the moment. I'm over it now. I'm liking the show like you. I'm not sure that it's appointment television. I'm not sure that it's must-see TV. But I'll watch it week to week.
It may turn around throughout the as it continues to get better, it may turn into appointment television for the second half. So we'll see. And we'll be talking about it.
And maybe they're going to introduce my redneck Jedi.
You know? Maybe.
You never
maybe.
Know.
If any show could do it, it would be this one.
I would hope so. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought about The Acolyte. What sort of Jedi are you looking for? Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
All right, Paul. Well, looking forward to chatting with you more about The Acolyte and any other Star Wars stuff that comes up. So, very excited.
Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
See you next time.